Later today, I'm scheduled to take a stress test. My heart doctor wants me to do this treadmill test. So I've never done this. I'm kind of curious about it. I looked it up in the website of the clinic, and there's all these guidelines for preparing for the test, and you know, wear comfortable clothes and wear rubber shoes and don't eat certain foods and all these things. So fine. So I tried to reserve the stress test, and turns out that the clinic that I consulted, they don't have it. They just have it on their website, but they don't have it in the place. So I asked our office to find, they said I could go to the Manila office, which I'm not going to do. So I asked our office to find me a place, and they contacted the local hospital and scheduled the stress test for 3 o'clock on First Friday. I said, oh, that seems like a significant time. And they also gave guidelines, you know, be sure and wear jogging attire, be sure and wear rubber shoes, bring a water bottle and your towel and all these things. And then I had to consult with my doctor about the medications, and the doctor's office said, be sure and wear rubber shoes. I said, what is this? Everybody's telling me to wear rubber shoes. And they don't care about all the other details. They vary, the guidelines vary, but every single person says, be sure to wear rubber shoes. Well, it doesn't take much thought to realize that if you don't bring your towel or you don't bring your water bottle, you can still take the test. But if you don't have the rubber shoes, game is over. They won't let you get on the treadmill unless you have the rubber shoes. Okay, why do I mention this little insignificant story? Because today's gospel introduces us to the necessity of a new container for the new gift, a new way of life to correspond with the new gift of the gospel. The context is that the scribes and Pharisees have realized that the disciples of Jesus don't play the game. They're not following the rules. The disciples of John the Baptist, they fast and they offer prayers. The disciples of the Pharisees, they fast and they offer prayers. That's what you do if you're a religious person. You fast and you offer prayers, and that's what you do. If you don't do that, well, there's something wrong with you. So their objection to Jesus is, your disciples don't fast and they don't offer the prayers. You're not training your disciples properly. Jesus responds to this by bringing up the situation of wedding guests. So it seems as if he changed the subject. They're talking about fasting, and he's talking about a wedding. But the point is very clear. If you're waiting for the groom to arrive, then you're fasting. You're not celebrating yet. But once the groom arrives, once the wedding celebration takes place, you don't fast anymore. You feast. He's identifying himself with the very well-established image in the Bible of God as the groom and his people as the bride. Jesus is saying, I myself am the groom, and I'm here now. So it's not time for fasting. Something new has arrived on the scene, so you don't have to play by the old rules anymore. That's what he's saying. It's quite a bold statement, a daring thing to identify himself as the very one whom the prophets described as the Lord. Perhaps he saw that they weren't getting it, and so he tells the parable of the taking the patch from a new cloak and putting it on an old cloak, and why it doesn't work. You can't put new and old together. Taking the new wine and putting it into the old wineskins, the old containers, it doesn't work. You can't put the new wine in the old wineskins. No, why? Because the old wineskins can't contain the newness. He's telling them, you can't contain what I am given. You can't contain me unless you yourselves become new. unless you yourselves go beyond the old ways. You have to get rubber shoes. You can't be wearing your old street shoes or your high heels or whatever you wear. You won't be able to take the test. Now, this idea of newness is a radical thing in the gospel, because Jesus' teaching, for the most part, was not that new. I mean, he repeated what the prophets said. Follow the Lord, first commandment, love your neighbor. I mean, these things were not brand new. What was new about Jesus' proclamation was himself. Instead of saying, follow the way that has been revealed, he says, I am the way. And nobody ever said that. That was radically new. Instead of saying, prepare for the coming of the groom, he says, I'm the groom. Nobody ever said that. So it requires a radical newness. Now, those of you who were with us yesterday in our formation will probably remember this. We started reading from the new document of Pope Francis on liturgical formation. And he, in the introduction to his document, points to what happened at the Last Supper. Remember, now we're no sound. Patay. That's the old. Brown out talaga. No more sound. Wala. Siguro wala nang kuryente. That's the old. It can't contain the proclamation of the gospel. That's the problem. The old power system can't handle it. Well, is it working again? Okay, we're back online. Okay, new again. Got your rubber shoes. Okay, this is what I wanted to mention. Yesterday we were reading this document of the Pope, and he says that at the Last Supper, Jesus had this intense longing to eat the Passover meal with them. And the Pope was saying, this is because at last, what God had been preparing for all of eternity, for all of history, is at last going to be revealed. And of course, the offering of himself, his body and blood at the Last Supper and on the cross is one offering. So this is the full revelation of the newness. And here's the part I want to pick out. This is paragraph number 4. No one had earned a place at that supper. All had been invited. Or, better said, all had been drawn there by the burning desire that Jesus had to eat that Passover with them. He knows that he is the lamb of that Passover meal. He knows that he is the Passover. This is the absolute newness, the absolute originality of that supper. The only truly new thing in history, which renders that supper unique. And for this reason, the Last Supper, unrepeatable. We reflected on this yesterday. Why does the Pope stress so much this absolute originality of the Last Supper, this unrepeatable uniqueness of the Last Supper? Because it's here where Jesus makes fully available the gift that he brought, that he came to bring. He's coming to the conclusion or the culmination of his whole mission, his offering of himself for our salvation. That's the new wine. That's the newness of the gospel. And if we don't accept being made new ourselves, we can't contain it. We can't even recognize it. Don't even know what's happening. And that's part of why the Pope in that document says, the apostles didn't really know what was going on, and neither do we. We don't have much appreciation of the extraordinary gift, the immeasurable gift that God gives us. So he has to make us new so that we can receive and contain what is new. This is all part of what's happening in the liturgy. Something similar happens in marriage, since Jesus uses this marriage imagery, which is very well established in the Old Testament. You might think about what happens in marriage, because marriage is one of the moments in a person's life when something really new does happen. The difference between being unmarried and being married is a radical difference. When the bride and the groom enter the church, they're single. They're two separate people with two separate lives. No, they might have been living together, they might even have children, but they're not yet one. They're not yet united in that bond until they're married. And once they're married, a new thing comes into being that did not exist before, a new family, one flesh union. That's the newness. And that, and the reason why the church is so dedicated to defending marriage is because that is a sign of the very thing Jesus talks about in this gospel. The union of God with his people. It's a new thing. So the sign of it has to be preserved, that's marriage, so that the reality that we're all called to can be welcomed and appreciated. Now today is First Friday, and we turn our hearts to the heart of Jesus. It is not just another religious devotion. It's not just saying some prayers. I'm going to do my prayers. I'm going to go to Mass. I'm going to do my religious devotions. It is that, but it's more than that, because it's an encounter with this newness. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. If we don't encounter Jesus, who's alive, who's with us, well then, we are just going through some motions. Then we're back in our street shoes. We're back with the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist. We're just saying our prayers and doing our fasting. Well, those are all good things, but that's not the essential thing. The essential thing is the encounter with Jesus Christ. He's the new thing. He's the new wine. And we are called to be the new wineskins. So let us welcome this gift by letting go of our street shoes, putting on the rubber shoes. Let us let go of the old ways, the old life, the habits, the sins, the attachments, and let the newness of the gospel really permeate our lives.